Tonight we're going to talk about how an individual falls into sin. James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now you've heard me say this before, if you've been in church here very much, that we have never had, to my knowledge, we have never had one person get drunk during any of our services. Amen? It just has not happened. We've not had one case of immorality during any of our services. And maybe I'll expand on it just a little bit tonight. There's a reason for that. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a protection one to another. We are all tempted. Okay? Now go back to James 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, temptation can be used in two ways here. First of all, temptation in this verse, verse 12, can be a trial or a test. And God will allow us to be tested. You may have been tested or may be being tested right now. You're tested through an illness in your home or your own life or your family. You're tested through a death in the family. You're tested financially. A trial comes. And it's a test from God. And God uses it to build us and draw us close to Him. We are on the race course of life, aren't we? Race course of life. And if you and I are going to do things for Christ, God has to build us and strengthen us. And we have to learn to lean on Him. And He'll allow us to be tested. So it says here, blessed is the man that endures temptation. He endures that test. That trial, all right? Because trials will either draw you closer to Christ or they'll harden your heart. So when you're tested, you have to draw close to Christ. Then it says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. The Bible teaches, Luke chapter 12 teaches, that the person who has much knowledge, much opportunity to receive Christ and does not, will receive many stripes in hell. But the person who didn't have those opportunities, didn't have the knowledge, apparently will not receive as many stripes in hell, as much punishment. The same thing is true in heaven. The person who is never tested, never tried, he gets saved but never tested, never tried, will not receive the crown of life. It says here, it says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, a special reward from God, more reward, special reward for being tried and staying true to God, being of good character and keep your eyes on Christ. Tests are going to come. Isaiah 43, when you go through the high water, when you go through the flood water, when you go through the fire, God doesn't say if, he says when. When you go through the fire, I will go through the fire with you. I will not just go into it, I will go through it. But in that trial, there's a test there, and you can draw close to God, or you can forsake Him, you can fall away. Harden your heart towards God, get angry with God. So temptation here is a trial. It says, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. I think every person here, what you say, do you want to have a crown of life in heaven? Do you want to have multiple rewards in heaven? And I would think almost everyone would say, well, sure I do. Sure I want to have rewards in heaven. Well, then do you recognize for the crown of life, you're going to have to go through some trials, some hurts, some discouragements, some brokenheartedness. You're being tested. Now, it's not a test to cause you to sin. It's just a test of your character, your relationship with Christ. Will you endure it? Does that make sense? So it's a trial. When I was diagnosed with leukemia, that wasn't a temptation to sin, but it was a temptation, a trial. All right? So we go through that. That's going to happen. But what a wonderful God we have, that it's an opportunity to earn a crown of life, special reward in heaven, and be blessed and have the blessing of God on our life. Now, come back to verse 13. Then it says, let no man say when he is tempted. Now, this is going to be a temptation towards sin, a temptation to do evil. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. When Satan tempted Christ when he went into the wilderness, Christ wasn't going to fall, but he proved he wasn't going to fall in the wilderness. It says here, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Now, you know, sometimes bad things happen and people blame God, and we shouldn't. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I just want to lay some groundwork here. I think if you get on a proper foundation, then we interpret things more correctly. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there's some foundational principles here. 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. There is not one of us here tonight that can say we are being tempted in some supernatural way that no one else has ever been tempted. Any way that I've ever been tempted, in any area of my life, some of you have been tempted also. Is that not right? We all are tempted. You may not be tempted the exact same way I am, but if you take 6.5 billion people on this earth, there are many, many, many people who have been tempted exactly the way I have been tempted. It's common to man. So if in the area of gossip, in the area of gluttony, in the area of temper tantrums and anger and throwing fits and all that, it is common to man. Now watch. But such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. God will never give us more than we can bear, more than we can withstand. He'll never put you in a point that you are tempted so severely that you cannot say no. Never. He will always never let that temptation go beyond that spot. So that's foundational. And then he says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will always give you a way to avoid that sin, to avoid that temptation. Now turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is a description of you and of me. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes all of us. Not one of us is a righteous person. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is you. That is me. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's a description of the sinner. And the Bible says there that we are all sinners. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark. No one is perfect. We are all sinners. Our throat is an open grave, an open sepulcher. If you would open up a recent grave, there would be a stench come out of it. And I think if you would see the heart of each one of us, the Bible says in Jeremiah, our heart is deceitful and it is desperately wicked.